ಶೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತದೋ ಜಯಂ ಉದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಫಿಫ್ತ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 14 ವಿಲ್ ರೀಡ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ನಾನಾ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ Rupa, who has forms or dresses. Atmanaha, of the living entity. Buddhihi, the intelligence. Swairini, a prostitute who freely decorates herself with different types of clothes and ornaments. Eva, like Guna Anvita, endowed with the mode of passion and so on. Tat Nishtham, the cessation of that. Agathasya, of one who has not obtained. Iha, in this material world. Kim asat karma bhi bhavet? What is the use of performing temporary fruitive activities? Okay. Nana rupatmano buddhir swairini va kunan vitaha tannishtham agatasyeha ಕಿಂ ಅಸತ್ಕರ್ಮ ಭಿ ಭವೇತ್ ನಾನಾ ರೂಪಾತ್ಮನ ಬುದ್ಧಿರ್ ಸ್ವೈರಿ ನೀವ ಗುಣಾನ್ವಿತ ತನ್ನಿಷ್ಠಂ ಆಗತಶೇಹ ಕಿಂ ಅಸತ್ಕರ್ಮ ಭಿ ಭವೇತ್ ಒನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಟೈಮ್ ನಾನಾ ರೂಪಾತ್ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಸ್ವೈರೇಣೀವ ಗುಣಾನ್ವಿತಃ ತನ್ನಿಷ್ಠಾಂ ಆಗತಶೇಹ ಕಿಂ ಅಸತ್ಕರ್ಮ ಭಿರ್ಭವೇತ್ ನಾನಾ ರೂಪಾತ್ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಸ್ವೈರೀನೀವ ಗುಣಾನ್ವಿತ ತನ್ನಿಷ್ಠಂ ಆಗತಶ್ಯೇಹ ಕಿಂ ಅಸತ್ ಕರ್ಮ ಭೀರ್ಭವೇತ್ ನಾನಾ ರೂಪಾತ್ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಸ್ವೈರೀನೀವ ಗುಣಾನ್ವಿತ ತನ್ನಿಷ್ಠಂ ಆಗತಶ್ಯೇಹ ಕಿಂ ಅಸತ್ ಕರ್ಮ ಭೀರ್ಭವೇತ್ ನಾನಾ ರೂಪಾತ್ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಸ್ವೈರಿನೀವ ಗುಣಾನ್ವಿತ ತನ್ನಿಷ್ಠಾಂ ಆಗತಶ್ಯೇಹ ಕಿಂ ಅಸತ್ ಕರ್ಮ ಭೀರ್ಭವೇತ್ नानारूपात्मनो बुद्धिर् स्वैरीणीव गुणान्विता तन्निष्ठामागतस्येह किम् असत्कर्म भीर्भवेत्। माताजी नानारूपात्मनो बुद्धिर् स्वैरीणीव गुणान्विता तन्निष्ठामागतस्येह किम् असत्कर्म भीर्भवेत्। लगती माताजी नानारूपात्मनो बुद्धिर् स्वैरीणीव गुणान्विता तन्निष्ठाम् आगतस्येह भीर्भवेत् किम् असत् कर्म भीर्भवेत्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। Narad Muni had described a woman who is a professional prostitute. The Haryashvas understood the identity of this woman. Mixed with the word of passion, the unsteady intelligence of every living entity is like a prostitute who changes dresses just to attract one's attention. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities, not understanding how this is taking place, what does he actually gain? I'll read the translation of verse 15 as well. They are both connected. Narada Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband of the prostitute. The Haryashvas understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs fruitive activities under such conditions, what will be the benefit? So these two verses, they go together in one way. We'll see. But we'll cover 14, and if we have some time, we'll cover 15 as well, a little bit. Purport, verse 14. A woman who has no husband declares herself independent, which means that she becomes a prostitute. A prostitute generally dresses herself in various fashions intended to attract a man's attention to the lower part of her body. Today it has become a much advertised fashion for a woman to go almost naked, covering the lower part of her body only slightly in order to draw the attention of a man to her private parts for sexual enjoyment. The intelligence engaged to attract a man to the lower part of the body is the intelligence of a professional prostitute. Similarly, the intelligence of a living entity who does not turn his attention towards Krishna or the Krishna consciousness movement simply changes dresses like a prostitute. What is the benefit of such foolish intelligence? One should be intelligently conscious in such a way that he need no longer change from one body to another. Karmis change their professions at any moment, but a Krishna conscious person does not change his profession, for his only profession is to attract the attention of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And living a very simple life without following daily changes of fashion. In our Krishna consciousness movement, fashionable persons are taught to adopt one fashion, the dress of a Vaishnava with a shaved head and tilak. They are taught to be always clean in mind, dress and eating, in order to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. What is the use of changing one's dress, sometimes wearing long hair and a long beard, and sometimes dressing otherwise. This is not good. One should not waste his time in such frivolous activities. One should always be fixed in Krishna consciousness and take the cure of devotional service with firm determination. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrishatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalitha Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pungum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam. So thank you all for coming Saturday morning for the Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. This is a great treasure to begin our day like this and chanting the holy names of the Lord in the company of devotees. So you all have already rendered, I'm guessing, 3-4 hours of devotional service, and it continues. Srimad Bhagavatam Nashta Prayeshu Abhadhyeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So every day. So thank you very much for coming. So this is a beautiful verse. As we remember, Sri Narada Muni, he spoke in a riddle sort of a way, an enigmatic way, to the Haryashvas who were performing these austerities at the request of their father, Prajapati Daksha. And verse by verse, the Haryashvas, they are sharing, they are sort of unraveling the puzzle of Narada Muni. As if you remember, the first verse said that they understood this, what Narada spoke, using their own intelligence. Of course, it also means the intelligence guided by the super soul. And here, so they're checking. So Narada Muni spoke a verse which was in a riddle sort of a way. The Haryashvas, inspired by the intelligence of the super soul and their own intelligence, they unraveled, they understood the verse in a particular way, and they are checking, in a way they are repeating, and so Narada Muni can hear. So this is a first point, this is an important point. So when we have an inspiration, so Krishna consciousness is teaching us to be dependently independent. So it's not that we tune off our intelligence, but we have our intelligence turned on. But then it also behooves us to then check with other Vaishnavas. This is how I'm seeing it, this is how I'm understanding it. Please let me know if this is appropriate or not. So here the Haryashvas are sharing their understanding of what Narada Muni spoke. So the focus today will be intelligence. So we'll try to understand that beautiful subject matter. Verse 14. Yeah. One more time, translation. Narada Muni had described a woman who is a professional prostitute. The Harieshwars understood the identity of this woman. Mixed with the mode of passion, the unsteady intelligence of every living entity is like a prostitute who changes dresses just to attract one's attention. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities, not understanding how this is taking place, what does he actually gain? So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that above the inert sense objects are the senses. Above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence. And the soul is even above the intelligence. So the intelligence broadly can be categorized into two: material intelligence and spiritual intelligence. Sri Upanishad also, in texts 9, 10 and 11, it talks about this. Culturing avidya and vidya. What is the result of culturing vidya? What is the result of culturing avidya? And how one should simultaneously understand both so that one can go back home, back to Godhead. So I'll read that. Just the translations. Verse 9. So stay with me. Those who engage in the culture of nascent activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. Mantra 9. Mantra 10. The wise who have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge, and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nescience. Mantra 11. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So we should properly understand, this, the material intelligence and the spiritual intelligence. So we, from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining how, what is the hierarchy, right? Above the senses is the mind, above the mind is the intelligence, above the intelligence is the soul. But somehow or the other, in our conditioned life, what typically, the way things work, is it work in the opposite direction. Where the mind becomes the central place where the tendency to enjoy independent of Krishna, all those desires are there. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is answering Arjuna that the sinful enemy, all-devouring sinful enemy, is the lust. And he says how this lust resides in different parts of the body. The senses, the lust takes over the senses, the mind, the intelligence. And in verse 340, Prabhupada mentions that the soul is the next door neighbor of the intelligence. So most of us, when we think about intelligence, we think about here, right? Intelligence. But actually there is another kind of intelligence that is the next door neighbor of the soul. And it is explained by our Shastra that the soul's position is in the position of the heart. So, the intelligence that we are talking about here, or the spiritual intelligence also, Bhagavad Gita Krishna mentions in, how does one get spiritual intelligence? If one has a desire to serve Krishna, Thesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tham Yenamam Upayantite. He says, if one wants to serve me uninterruptedly with love, then I will give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So this is the intelligence, how by which they can come to me. And then he also says in the next verse, Thesham evanukampartham aham agyana jamtamah nashayami atma bhavastho jnana deepena bhashvatah. So to show them special favor, those that want to come to him, he says, with the shining lamp of knowledge, I destroy from their hearts the darkness of ignorance. So in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna mentions, Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the condition of the heart. It says the heart that is in the mode of goodness, the heart that is in the mode of passion, the heart that is in the mode of ignorance. So then obviously the intelligence, you know, goes with that. So this is a myth, you know. Intelligence, most of us, we, you know, consider it to be related with the brain, you know, the court, like that. But there is another kind of intelligence, spiritual intelligence. And that we cannot go and get it in the marketplace. And what we can get in the marketplace is this other kind of intelligence, which is being described here. So if you broadly, you know, see the educational system, the modern educational system, it's about, really about equipping somebody so that they can fulfill the desires, fulfill their desires. And the mind has unlimited desires. And so the educational system, it equips the persons with intelligence to fulfill, you know, those unlimited material desires. And these desires are unlimited. So this is where the analogy of the prostitute comes in. What does the prostitute do? The prostitute, she serves different kinds of people. whatever they want, you know, she changes accordingly. She serves them like that. So this material intelligence is like that. So the mind, it has a certain propensity, it has a certain idea of enjoying in a particular way. And the intelligence says, sure, I'll figure out something. And so there is also one more aspect, is there is Purusha and there is Prakriti. And so the intelligence, the material intelligence, it considers how to manipulate, you know, this Prakriti, material nature, so that I can have what I need, you know, for my enjoyment. So that's the whole program, basically. So there is this imitation Purusha, the living entity, who is thinking that he is the Purusha, the false enjoyer, and he's exploiting, so to speak, the Prakriti for his enjoyment. And this intelligence, the material intelligence, is that's what the material intelligence is. Trying to figure out how to fulfill my desires, the living entity's desires, conditioned living entity's desires. That's material intelligence. And again, Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, there are two verses, 241 and 244. So again, the topic is intelligence. So I'm going to speak about it. I'm speaking about it from different, you know, scriptures, different verses. So Isopanishad, we saw Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, and now Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. Bahushakhahi anantasya buddhayo avyavasayinam. So he says, Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. In those persons who are resolute in their purpose, Krishna says their intelligence is one. It is not splayed. Bahushakhahi anantasya. It's not splayed. So their intelligence is the one kind. And what is their intelligence? That how to get to Krishna. That's all their focus is. How to serve Krishna. And then Krishna also explains why that irresolute determination doesn't take place. 244, it says, Bhoga Aishwari Prasaktanam Taya Abharita Chetasam Vevasayatmika Buddhir Samadhau Navidhyate. So he says, Bhoga Aishwari Prasaktanam, one who is very attached to Bhoga and Aishwari Prasaktanam Taya Abharita Chetasam. Apaharan means hijacked or, you know, stealing away. Chetasam is intelligence. So one who is very attached to Bhoga and Aishwarya, his intelligence is stolen. Taya Aparita Chetasam. Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Samadhavana Vidhyate. And so in such a condition, living entity, that Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, it never takes root. Will never take root. So this material intelligence, the spiritual intelligence, is not something that we can go and get in the marketplace. It comes from Sadhu Sangha. Like yesterday, Jai Jagannath Prabhu was sharing Sadhu Sangha. So somehow or the other, of course, this intelligence, I slightly edited. This Vyavasayatmika Buddhir is there, is dormant in every living entity's heart. It becomes awakened by Sadhu Sangha. It's not something, again, just like how Krishna Prema is not something extraneous that we take from outside and put in our heart. Similarly, this Vyavasayatmika Buddhir is also not something extraneous. It's there in everyone's heart. It constitutionally exists with the soul. We just have to awaken it. And the way it is awakened is by Sadhu Sangha. And somehow or the other, one comes in contact, Adav Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. Somehow or the other, we come in contact with the pure devotees. And they tell us, they remind us about what we have forgotten, Prabhupada said. I've not come here to teach you something new. I've just come here to remind you what you've forgotten. So this is what they're doing. And even if you read this section, that's exactly what Narada Muni is doing. So here are the Haryashvas. They are performing in austerity based on the instruction of their father. And then one of the verses that Narada Muni says is, well, your father is omniscient, so obviously he's not referring to Prajapati Daksha. Again, it's a riddle, you know, we have to read this section carefully. See, your father is omniscient, so you should understand the purpose of your father before you perform some activity. So which father is he referring to? He's referring to Krishna. And then he is speaking in a riddle format. So he is giving them, Narada Muni is giving them the spiritual intelligence. So he is educating them simultaneously. Like in one line, the first line he says, there is a place where there only one man lives. Right? And then he talks about another kingdom, and so on and so forth. So one piece of the puzzle refers to Krishna. In a way. And the other piece refers to the rest of the verse refers to the material realm. So it's teaching vidya and avidya simultaneously. So Narada Muni, so we see it right here. And the list goes on and on and on. Narada Muni especially is qualified to give Krishna Bhakti, of course, but it means intelligence. To awaken the intelligence to serve Krishna. The Sambandha Gyan, we can say. To awaken the Sambandha Gyan. And then to give the faith to perform Abhideya, to act on that Sambandha Gyan. So this is the gift of the sadhus. And this is not, we can, you know, go and get it in the marketplace. It's priceless. Like in Kevalashtakam also it says, right? सगुरु सपिता च अपि स माता बंधवो भी अपि सह शिक्षाए सदा स्मर्तुम हरे नाम एव केवलम. दैट पर्सन इज द रियल गुरु, द रियल टीचर, द रियल फ्रेंड, द रियल फादर हु टीचेस यू, टीचेस अस दैट द होली नेम इज एवरीथिंग. सो स्पिरिचुअल इंटेलिजेंस, दिस इज स्पिरिचुअल इंटेलिजेंस, द इंटेलिजेंस बाई विच वी कैन कम टू कृष्णा. And that is the gift of the sadhus. And if you also notice, all these verses, they have a refrain. From verse 12 onwards till verse 20, the last sentence is the same. Kim asat karma bhir bhavet. So Hariyashvas are saying, what's the use of these temporary activities? What's the use of these temporary activities? So, and they're saying this 8.4 million species of life, we have experienced everything. Prabhupada says that if we have come to the human form of life, we can take it for granted that we have gone through all the species of life. So there is nothing really that we have not experienced. Of course, the mind proposes that, you know, this is something that I have not yet experienced, that is something that I have not yet experienced. But then these thoughts, they are neither innocent nor harmless. They become the fixed, you know, they become obsessions, fixed obsessions, which will take us to the next destination. So in every minute, actually, we are creating, every second we are creating our next destination. So that's one. Another, you know, way to look at the whole thing is, Prabhupada always talks about thinking, feeling, and willing. So the living entity is active. We cannot stay inert even for a moment. So all the time, we are contemplating something or the other. If you notice, every, you know, second, where there is some thinking going on, and then there is, associated with the thinking, there is some feeling going on, and then typically what happens is then it leads to, you know, our willing forces, you know, being activated. So again, in this context here, the mind is contemplating of the objects of the senses, and so by contemplating the objects of the senses, an attachment develops for them. So some feelings awaken for them. And so in this case, so the mind gives direction to the intelligence that this is what I want. You know, can you figure it out? How we'll do this? And the intelligence, it becomes busy in fulfilling the desires of the mind. And then, you know, so there are knowledge acquiring senses and there are working senses. So then the intelligence puts to task, so to speak, the working senses to pursue that. And so it never ends. So we've been doing this, you know, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. That. On the other hand, that's why Prabhupada explains that a devotee who is in Krishna consciousness, who is in the fire of Krishna consciousness, he is active at all levels. He has to be active at all levels. At the level of the thoughts, at the level of the feelings, at the level of willing. Now, Srila Prabhupada, you know, is it a fantastic example. Before, you know, this Hare Krishna movement, as we see it, it came to fruition, it erupted. Prabhupada, we read from Lilamrita, right from his, you know, the first time he met his spiritual master, his spiritual master gave him instruction. Whenever you get a chance, you take this message of Lord Chaitanya to the western parts of the world. He was just in his, you know, early 20s then. Print books, write literature. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he planted a seed, he gave him service. And from that point on, you know, Srila Prabhupada's meditation was always this, basically. Wow. I mean, so firstly he received the instruction. He didn't say, wow, that's impossible. How can, you know, we do this, it can't be done. Like the other day, Ananda Chaitanya Prabhu was mentioning different, you know, categories of disciples. So he received the instruction. And he kept, you know, meditating. And he was thinking, wow, I'm a grihastha. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has so many sannyasi disciples. But somehow he has given me this instruction. How is this going to be fulfilled? It's not like, you know, it will be fulfilled, but how is it going to be fulfilled? How will I fulfill it? So that was his absorption, meditation all the time. So as a grihastha, he always, you know, he never missed an opportunity to hear from his spiritual master, or whenever his spiritual master's disciples, his godbrothers would come, and they were spreading the Gaudiya mission at that time, Prabhupada would engage in assisting them. And then whenever he would have a chance, he would write articles for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they would be printed. So he was always engaged, and skipping many, many details. Then at some point, he established the League of Devotees in Jhansi. And he would engage his thinking, intelligence, mind, intelligence, manasa, deha, geha, everything in the service of Krishna. He wrote in many, many drafts. He saw how the whole worldwide movement would be established. So before he even came to the West, he had everything, you know, on paper. So it's not just, you know, wishful thinking or, you know, like some imagination, but he was taking the instruction, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittite Koriya Ikya. So he was keeping the instruction of the spiritual master and making it one with his consciousness, with his intelligence. Yeah, yes, very amazing, powerful. How Prabhupada, that was his absorption, his meditation. You know, how to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master. And we also hear how Srila Prabhupada, he would go to Shantipur. Shantipur is a place in Mayapur. Many times, as a grihastha, from time to time, we hear this from the memories of Prabhupada. From time to time, he would go to Shantipur. Shantipur is this beautiful place in Mayapur where the three lords would sit, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Lord Advaita Acharya. They would sit and they would discuss, of course, you know, Krishna Katha and how to spread this, you know, Krishna consciousness. They would discuss. So Srila Prabhupada, it was not coincidental that he chose that place. He could have gone to any other place. But he went to Shantipur where these three lords would discuss. And he would pray them. He would stay all day there. The pujaris discuss, share. He would chant the holy name and he would literally be in tears. He would be crying, you know, for mercy. Like, you know, my spiritual master has given me this impossible instruction almost. I don't know how I'm going to do it. So he would go regularly to Shantipur as a grihastha, wearing white. You know. And then one day, you know, the pujari saw that this gentleman was in saffron. So the day before, actually, he got on the Jaladuta. We were thinking, well, I'm going to pack my suitcase and so many things. We were just thinking about practical things. His thinking was, well, I need to go to Shantipur and pray at the feet of Advaita Acharya to get his mercy. So he makes a trip to Shantipur and he's crying. And then the next day he gets on, you know, the ship, Jaladuta. So this is Krishna consciousness. It's not just sort of moving our hands and legs and while our, you know, mind and intelligence is all over the place. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is very, very firm. He writes that if we don't engage, if we don't bring sort of our mind and intelligence, especially the mind, into the house of bhakti, we'll fall down. We will keep, you know, we will not make much progress. So, manasa deha geha. So there are many verses. Savai mana krishna padara bandayo vacham shri vaikuntha gunana varnane, like that. So where the scriptures talk about devotion, performing devotional service, beginning with bringing the mind, you know, And so one easy and a practical way to practice it is while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, japa, in the morning. Yeah. Every one mantra at a time. The mind may wander from here and there, but then bring the mind back to Krishna. Yeah. Because Kapila Devi mentions briefly, one more, this, you know, the Sankhya section, third canto, he describes that there is chitta consciousness is the most subtle. Subtler than consciousness is, one can say, false ego, ahankara. Then subtler than that is, grosser. Most subtle is chitta, ahankara, intelligence, mind, and, senses. So the grosser can be controlled by the subtler. So in this case, so the mind, although it's subtle, but it's grosser than the intelligence. So the intelligence can correct the mind, can control the mind. So this is where the sambandha jnana comes in. But the intelligence, that is lusty intelligence, that cannot control the mind. The lusty intelligence will give in to the mind. So then one has to purify the intelligence. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahada vagnirvapanam. Like that. And so, Bhurijan Prabhu writes in his japa book. So there is this chitta consciousness. In our conditioned state, it is contaminated. So the idea of devotional service is to bring our contaminated consciousness in connection with Krishna. And Krishna is prophylactic. He is all purifying. So by bringing that consciousness in connection with Krishna, it becomes purified. And that purified consciousness and the purified intelligence, then it has an influence on the mind, material mind. So in this way, the material counterparts, they dissolve. So intelligence is there. So two categories, material and spiritual. And as the spiritual intelligence is awakened, the material intelligence is diminished. That's the point here. So that should be, our aspiration, that Krishna, I have given, my material intelligence, my intelligence in mind, for so many lifetimes to these unending desires. Anadi karma phale, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written so many bhajans. And what has he brought, what has it brought me? It just has brought me more suffering. So in this lifetime, let me give my intelligence and my mind to you. So this mind has been an ungrateful, relentless master. And it has brought me to my knees, by serving the mind. But Krishna is another kind of a master. So to pray to Krishna that you please give me this intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna is saying, I'll give you. But then if you want to come to me, I'll give it to you. Yatha mam prapadyante. If you want to turn your face away from me and continue your material existence, I can give you that also. But if you want to come to me, I can give you that also. So the living entity has free will. So we have to choose. And the choices become easier when we are in the association of devotees. And so that's how Maya, we succumb to Maya when we become isolated. Even in the company of devotees, we can become isolated. And that's how Maya gets us. So somehow or the other, staying in the company of devotees, practicing Krishna consciousness, praying for the spiritual intelligence that Krishna is very, very eager to give. So, material intelligence, we don't need to speak so much about it. We know. We know it like the back of our hands. There are so many universities, so many degrees. Think about it, and somebody is teaching that, anything. But Prabhupada would say, "What? Where is that university where the science of the soul is being taught?" And then just to touch upon this purport, when Prabhupada writes that the purpose of the prostitute is to attract the man to the lower part of the body. So I was thinking, in a way, the purpose of the material intelligence also is something similar. It is so there is we all have a higher self and a lower self. So the material intelligence, it is figuring out how to cater to the lower self, to our lower self. And the spiritual intelligence is of the other kind. We have a higher nature. How to regain that higher nature? Please help me, Krishna. Yeah. And then Prabhupada, in the second paragraph, is writing that we are not, there is only one profession we have. That Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasava Vrittya Jivira Swarupahoya Krishna Nitya Das. That's our only occupation. So this whole thing about changing professions and so on and so forth, it's really useless. We've been doing that, we've been doing that for since time immemorial. But he is saying in this lifetime, practice Krishna consciousness, and even these things that we are, Prabhupada is very, explicit here, and we all have the intelligence to understand what he's saying. About this whole in different fashions, that we all, are attracted to, and sometimes it's this, sometimes it's something else, sometimes it's something else. So in this way, we spend our whole lifetime, chasing the next fashion, the next fashion. But here Prabhupada says, on the other hand, in our Krishna conscious movement, fashionable persons are taught to adopt one fashion. And it is true, Krishna consciousness has even attracted many, many, fashion models also, literally, Miss Universes and things like that. They have also been attracted by Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is all attractive. So Prabhupada is saying, give up all these other fashions, been doing it for, so many lifetimes. Take up a new fashion, take up one fashion, stick with it. That is, practice Krishna consciousness, stay in Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada is encouraging. And then he's saying, so within what is staying in Krishna consciousness, so there are etiquettes, So he's saying, without spelling all the details, follow the etiquettes of Krishna consciousness also. Follow internally, followed internally, followed externally. Remain peaceful and practice Krishna consciousness. Anything the Mataji's would like to add? Both of you, three of you, especially the first part of the purport. It's not that I can't speak about the first part of the purport, but would like to hear some of the Mataji's take, if we have any. Prabhupada talks about, yeah, somebody else here, yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
This is actually about the end of the purports.
Yeah.
It's a topic I've been thinking about lately, about this one form of dress. So I'm wondering, for someone who is, a new bhakta, just trying to serve temple devotees and Vaishnavas, what sort of dress is appropriate, or is it more important to have clean mind, dress, and eating? Is that the more important part? If you could comment on that.
So last sentence you said, one should not waste the time in such frivol. That's what you're talking about?
No, well, he's talking about one form of dress. I was wondering if it's more important to be always clean in mind, dress, and eating in order to be fixed in Krishna consciousness, if adopting the way that devotees dress is just adopting an external thing.
Prabhupada, well, we are taught we are not the body. We are the spirit soul. So then, in a way, it doesn't make sense that we insist that you should wear a Vaishnava dress, because after all, we are not the body. And Prabhupada, he allowed his disciples, also many of his disciples, you know, for preaching purposes and so on and so forth, he allowed his disciples to wear, you know, non-Vaishnava dress like a pant shirt, and you know, but he would, of course, you know, encourage them to be like gentlemen, basically. Of course, the word gentleman, you know, based on time, place, and circumstances, the definition changes. So I think 30 years later, what's the gentleman is, you know, quite different than what it was then. We were discussing this in Gita Nagari. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also talks about this. Talks about advancement in Krishna consciousness. So briefly he explains that there are different, devotees are on different levels of Krishna consciousness. And there are particular rules and regulations that apply for a particular level of devotional service they are on. And by carefully and steadily following those, then they acquire the adhikar to go to the next step, basically. Again, so in their consciousness and also perhaps in the externalities, basically. So if you're carefully, you know, considering, as you said, the most important thing is to purify our mind and intelligence and engage in devotional service. And then the externalities will also follow. They'll also follow. They'll come. Prabhupada, he didn't insist that, you know, the devotees should, you know, wear dhoti kurta. Then the first day they come into the temple, he allowed them time. People would, sometimes they would take months to, you know, shave their heads. Sometimes some people would shave their heads the first day they move in. So it's not really about all of these things in a way. But again, then at a certain point in Krishna consciousness, where one may be beyond these rules and regulations also, meaning one can be Krishna conscious wearing anything, but then just to be an example, they may perform some things. You know, they'll follow the proper, you know, Vaishnava etiquette, although they are beyond the Vaishnava etiquette. We are not on that platform, but I'm just giving an example. An activity can be done for one's own purification, or an activity can be done for setting an example for others, like Bhagavad Gita Krishna mentions. Like kings like Janaka and others, they are performing their prescribed duties as a king, not because they require purification from that activity, but so that common people, they don't, you know, give up their prescribed duties in a premature way, court them, and the whole society will go to ruination. So the devotees may do that also for that reason. Yeah. So most importantly is to take these steps, whatever the steps one is taking, in consultation with somebody, that one can sustain it. As I said, and Bhakti Thakur also explained, then if there are, say, let's say, some rules and regulations, prohibitions and injunctions are there for one stage, if one is not able to follow them, then one falls down. So instead of, you know, getting up and falling down, getting up and falling down. So it's encouraging for us also, and for those around us, to sort of, you know, gradually, you know, practice Krishna consciousness. Focusing on chanting and hearing. Like Prabhupada also, initially when he began the movement, he just did kirtan. He didn't talk about regulative principles until one day somebody asked, Prabhupada, aren't we supposed to follow some rules and regulations? He said, yes. Tomorrow I'll tell you the rules and regulations. And even then he gave, you know, the sort of the bare minimum, so to speak, which will keep us in devotional service. But he didn't compromise. So he gave us the essence, like the four pillars of religion. no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. So he was not, you know, loose about that. He may, you know, maybe have been a little more loose about, you know, what you wear and things like that, but not loose about that. Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. Anything else, anyone?
Yeah, Raktak Prabhu.
Thank you. Is there a difference between the soul and the consciousness? Yeah, yeah. Consciousness is a symptom of the soul, yeah. No, it's a symptom of the soul. Consciousness is a symptom of the soul. Well, achintya bheda abheda tattva. So like, can you separate heat and light from fire? No. So in the same way, consciousness is concomitant with the soul. Yeah. So there's different and they're same. Thank you. Yes, Mataji.
As one's spiritual intelligence increases, material intelligence diminishes. So how about personality? Is personality material or is it an expression of the soul?
Oh, that's a good question. Swabhava. I was having the same discussion yesterday. Swabhava, personality. So there are two. There is the conditioned swabhava, one can say, conditioned personality, and our true personality. Our personality, you know, based on the soul. Of course, so here we are not talking about swarupa and all that, I'm hoping. So there is a personality. Each one of us, we have a swarupa, siddha deha, we have a swarupa, we have a personality in service to Krishna. That's there. Okay. But then, because of our association with the modes of material nature, we have also acquired a psychophysical personality, one can say, psychophysical nature. But especially in the age of Kali, even the psychophysical nature is all, you know, topsy-turvy. Kali Yuga begins with the fall of the Brahmanas. So in the earlier Yugas, one could even identify, you know, a little bit, okay, this is, you know, a Brahmana, this is a Kshatriya, this is a Vaishya, this is a Shudra, there are like these, you know. But in this Kali Yuga, everything is upside down. So in fact, what we have seen, what is our experiences, we all have a certain idea about our psychophysical nature. But as we engage in the activities of devotional service, and we engage in our spiritual nature, the fog, it, you know, clears even about our psychophysical nature. What we thought was not our nature, we identify, wow, this is my nature. Some people say, well, I am not really about relationships, you know. I just give me a book and I'll bury myself in my book. That's how they come in to Krishna consciousness, many of us, and because they're burnt by relationships, so just give me one corner in the temple. But then, as they engage in devotional service, they realize, oh wow, I mean, they begin to relish devotee association, they have relationships. So many times, we even confuse our second nature with our actual nature, whereas actually it's the other way around, Prabhupada says. So again, the same thing. Good question. As we engage in our spiritual nature, performing the activities of devotional service, even our so-called material nature, psychophysical nature, personality, that becomes, you know, more clear. So in essence, the ignorance dissipates, you know, from all walks of life. Not just how to perform this devotional service, but then, you know, what occupational duty, what should I do, things like that. So everything. Initially, we may dovetail, for example. We think we have some nature, so we dovetail that in Krishna service. But then when there is a higher taste that awakens, then we can even venture, right? We can even venture into areas which we think is against, totally against our nature. Because we have faith now, we have relationships. So there are so many things. So it's an exciting journey. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada, Krishna says, I am adventure. So it's an adventure to find out really who am I. I mean, at all levels. I mean, we don't know anything about anything, actually. But again, so when we engage, when we come in contact with Krishna, so we know other things also. Thank you. Anything else? So just one other last point. Next verse is talking about Narada Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband of the prostitute. The Harish was understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Yeah. So there is this idea of Purusha and Prakriti, right? Purusha and Prakriti. So in our conditioned idea, the male is the Purusha, and the Prakriti is the female. So here, what is being talked about here is, so the husband, quote unquote, the husband that is being talked about here, it is saying the living entity, the soul, the Purusha, he becomes controlled, you know, by the intelligence, by the lusty intelligence. Like I was talking about, the soul being the next door neighbor of the intelligence. So like the example that Prabhupada gives is the chariot. You know, the soul is the passenger, right? There are the horses, there are the reins and all that. But at one level, the soul is helpless, one can say. Based on where the intelligence and the mind and the senses, they take us, it has to go. But then Prabhupada, in another purport, talks about the desires. The soul has desires. So if the soul has a desire to reconnect with Krishna, to awaken that, then Krishna says, oh, it's like the two birds sitting on the tree. If the bird is not paying attention to the super soul, then we are on cruise control. But if we turn our attention to the super soul and say, wow, I want to come to you, it says, oh, then Krishna begins to act. So it's not, the soul has free will, it has desires. So if we want to water those desires, Krishna says, sure, I'll help you. Tesham satati yuktanam vayatam priti purvakam. I'll give you intelligence by which you can come to me. I'll send you some devotees, I'll send you my holy name, the scriptures, sadhus. Okay, so that's the topic. Anything else? Yeah, go ahead.
That when class is over, if devotees wanted to gather to chant a round of japa together for Bhakta Glen, that we would be doing this, and of course everyone is welcome.
Bhakta Glen?
Yeah.
Is something, I know his health is not okay.
Yes, there's some problems with his health, so we'll be praying for him.
Sure. Yeah. And then, so while we are chanting, we can pray to Krishna that Chito Darpana Marjanam, let, you know, my chitta, my consciousness, you know, can be touched by Krishna, so it becomes purified, my intelligence be purified, and we can pray for Glenn also. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.